You know, our theme for the month of October, you probably noticed in the bulletin, is follow me and I will make you peculiar. Peculiar. It comes from Titus chapter 2, verse 14, where the Bible says, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. You know, we have some peculiar people in this place. Some of them are more peculiar than others. There's a trio of guys that I just refer to when I'm talking to people who know I'm talking about as PCL, that are very peculiar. That stands for Paul and Clyde and Leonard. And in their own ways, they are peculiar. But rather than single them out, I will just tell you that those of you that I know, you have some peculiarities as well, as I'm sure you know that I do myself. But this morning, I'm going to tell you a way that you and I can be peculiar to the world. We can be peculiar, as this verse talks about, zealous unto good works. You know, the world defines greatness as somebody that has power, possessions, prestige, or position. And you think about all the people that the world deems great, that holds up to us as great, and you'll find that they usually have one of those things on that list, either power, possessions, prestige, or positions. But Jesus defines greatness totally opposite than the world does. He said in Mark chapter 10, verses 42 and 43, you know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, or shall be your servant. What Jesus is saying is that if you want greatness the way that I define it, you will learn to be a servant. You will learn to serve others. Greatness is not determined by the way the world says how many people serve you, but greatness is determined by what Jesus says, how many people you serve. And that's a definition that even Christians have had trouble with down through the ages. 2,000 years ago, the disciples of our Lord were arguing who was going to be greatest in his kingdom. And you remember Jesus called a little child into their midst, and he says, when you have the faith of this little child, and when you learn to serve, when you learn to minister to others, you'll understand what greatness is all about. The Gospels, the first four books of the New Testament, look at Jesus from different perspectives. The book of Matthew, look at him as king. The book of Luke, look at him as the Son of Man. And the book of John, look at him as the Son of God. But the Gospel of Mark talks about Jesus as a servant, as a servant. And in our text that Adam read, that we read together from the book of Philippians chapter 2, in verse 7 it says, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. The Son of God, the Prince of Heaven, the one that created the heavens and the earth and now sustains it, as the book of Colossians took, when he walked the face of this earth, took upon him the form of a servant. And this morning, I would like to use Jesus as our example and encourage every Christian here to do the same thing. You can be peculiar in this way by taking upon you the form of a servant. And this morning, I want to mention five quick things. I'll use Jesus as an example and talk about how we can do that same thing, take upon us the form of a servant. So, number one, a servant makes themselves available to serve. A servant makes themselves available to serve. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, the Bible says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Most of us as Christians are so entangled in things that make up our life and so entangled in the things of the world that most of the time we don't have time to be a servant. And if the only time that we serve is when we have time, or the only time that we serve when it's convenient for us, we will not be much of a servant. Jesus always made himself available. He was available to that leper that says, "If thou will, thou can make me clean." He was available to that mother who brought her request to him about her daughter who was sick, and the disciples tried to drive her away. And you remember she said, "Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the table." Jesus made himself available to her. He made himself available to that father who brought his son that oftentimes cast him into the fire for healing. He made himself available to the centurion whose servant was at home sick, and Jesus said, "Go on home, cause he's well." He made himself available to those four friends that carried that lame man or that man of sick of the palsy to him on that pallet and let him down through the roof. Did you ever stop and think as you read the New Testament and you read the life of Christ as described in the Gospels, how many times he was interrupted by people? How many times that he was doing something and somebody came to him with a need? Somebody came to him with a hurt? Somebody came to him with a loved one that was sick? And they interrupted Christ. It was never a bother. It was never something that he tried to put off. He saw every interruption as an opportunity to serve. I wonder how we treat interruptions. I wonder when we're busy about the things that we have to do and somebody calls us on the phone or somebody crosses our path, I wonder how we treat interruptions. Too many times, and I'll preach to myself for just a second, too many times we treat them as interruptions. We don't see the opportunity to serve. Too many times we get irritated because we're interrupted. Jesus never, never. Every interruption he saw as an opportunity to serve. Again, he had a servant. As a servant, he had no agenda. He had no schedule. He said, "I have not come to do my own will, but to do the will of my Father." And so when he was interrupted, he didn't have to put aside his agenda. He didn't have to put aside his itinerary. He didn't have to put aside his schedule, because his schedule was given to him by his master, the Father. I submit to you that we ought to be the same way. Now, I know we have to have schedules, and I know we have things that we have to do. But when God interrupts us with somebody that has a hurt, when God disrupts our schedule for the day with somebody that has a need, a servant will make themselves available to serve. You may not have any other ability, but you have the fact that you can be available. And availability sometimes is the best talent that any person has. So number one, a servant makes themselves available to serve. Number two, a servant pays attention to needs. Servants are always on the lookout for people that they can help, that people that have a need. And whenever they see a need, they seize the moment to meet it. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, "As ye have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." Jesus looked for opportunities to serve. He saw a funeral and gave a widow her son back. He saw a lame man who had been lame for 38 years and made him walk. He saw a man with a withered hand, and even though it was a Sabbath day and he knew that he was going to make the religious hierarchy mad and upset, he healed the man of the withered hand. He saw a woman bent over, and again, even though it was the Sabbath, he said, "Go ahead and stand up straight." Jesus didn't let any opportunity to serve slip by. We need to do the same thing. We need to look for needs. And we need to meet those needs when we see them. Because you see, there are some needs that don't last long. There are some needs that are only going to last the time that you see them. And you will never have the opportunity to go back and meet that particular need. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 28, the Bible says, "Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give, when you hast it by thee." In other words, what the writer of Proverbs is saying is, if you see somebody that has a need, go ahead and meet it right then. Don't say, "Well, come back tomorrow when I help, and I'll help you," especially when you have the means to meet that need today. Look for needs and seize the moment and meet them. John Wesley said, "Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you ever can." Pretty good advice from an old Methodist preacher. Look for needs. That's what a servant does. He pays attention to needs. Number three, a servant uses what they have. They don't make excuses. "I don't have what it takes." They don't procrastinate. They don't wait until they're better equipped. They don't wait for better circumstances. They never say, "One of these days I'll be able to help," or "One of these days I'll be able to serve." If we wait until we think that we have everything that we need to help other people, we will never serve. Ecclesiastes 11 verse 4 says, "He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap." Jesus used whatever was at hand to meet the needs. He had a crowd of 5,000 men plus the women and the children that needed fed. He had two little fish and five little loaves the little boy had in his lunch. He used it to feed that crowd. He had a blind man come to him one day, and he used his own spittle and the mud that that spittle made and used that as salve to anoint that man's eyes. Told him to go wash in a pool, and he went and washed, and he's got his sight back. We use excuses. We say, "Well, the way I'll meet the need won't be perfect. Somebody else can probably do it better." Did you know that imperfect service is always better than no service at all? Do you know what you're able to do in your imperfection far outweighs that need going unmet? Did you know that that doing something is better than waiting for somebody else to maybe do something? You might say, "I don't have a Cadillac. All I got's a Chevy." Then use your Chevy. You may say, "I don't have steak. All I have is a can of sardines." Then use your sardines. You may say, "I don't have millions. I only have hundreds." Use your hundreds. I know all sorts of people that say, "Well, when I get rich, when I make my million, then I'll start to help other people." And I always say, "No, you won't. If you won't help them with the $10 you got now, you won't help them with the $1 million you may have tomorrow." Listen, listen, listen. If we're going to follow Jesus' example, we're going to make ourselves available. We're going to use what we have, and we're going to see needs and pay attention to those needs. Number four, servants do everything with equal dedication. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto man." The size of the need, the size of the task doesn't make any difference. It doesn't make any difference. The only thing that makes a difference is there's a need. Somebody is hurting. Somebody has a heartache. Somebody needs help. That's the only, it doesn't matter how big it is. It doesn't matter how small it is. Servants never do it for the praise of men. They never do it on a stage. They do it as unto the Lord. They do it as to Him. You know, there was nothing that Jesus ever felt was beneath Him. Little children came to Him. The disciples said, "Oh, no, 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 He's too important to mess around with little kids." And Jesus, He got mad at His disciples. He said, "No, no, 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 no. Such is the kingdom of heaven." And I can just picture Him in my mind as a little group of 3 and 4 and 5 year olds come, and He picks them up and sets them on His lap, and He tells them stories about God and about the kingdom of God. He washed the disciples' feet. This was the Son of God. This was the one that made everything that we see and holds it all together. This was the one that called, that dispelled death and brought people back to life. And yet, he took upon him the form of a servant, wrapped himself in a towel, and that night in the upper room washed the disciples' feet. He fixed breakfast. You remember out on the Sea of Galilee that morning after the, not the exact morning after the resurrection, but several mornings after the resurrection when the disciples went fishing. They came in, he stood on the shore and he said, "Have you any meat?" He said, "No, we fished all night, caught nothing." He said, "Cast your net on the other side." And he pulled a great host of fish up. When they brought him to shore, he had a fire going. He said, "Bring me some fish. I'm going to fix breakfast." He served lepers. The people that the world said, "Oh, no, they're outcasts. We just need to put them aside, not come near them, and them not come near us." Jesus saw the needs of lepers and served lepers. There was nothing between him. He came to serve. He came to help people. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 3, "For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself." Great opportunities for service are often hidden in small tasks. And whatever the need, we ought to give it our best. And then number 5, servants are faithful. They're faithful. They finish the task. They fill their responsibilities. They keep their promises. They complete their commitments. They don't leave a job half done. They don't quit when they get discouraged. They're faithful. You remember the story of the parable of the master and his 3 servants in Matthew 25. He distributes his wealth to them and leaves and comes back and takes an accounting. And the first one said, "You gave me 5, I earned 5 more. Here's 10. The master said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." The second servant came and said, "You gave me 2, here's 4. Master said the same thing, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And of course, we know the story of the one that buried it because he was afraid of his master. Our text says, "And took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." As Jesus hung on the cross, as he hung between heaven and earth, his hands were outstretched, fixed by nails in his wrist. The sun went dark. One of the things he cried out from the cross is the phrase, "It is finished." It's finished. The work of salvation is finished. He took upon him the form of a servant, and he was obedient to God. He was faithful. He finished the task. And it's only in that finished task that we find salvation. It's not the virgin birth is a very important doctrine, but we don't find our salvation in the virgin birth. The sinless life qualified him to be our Passover lamb. It's a very important doctrine. But if Jesus only came and was virgin born and lived a sinless life, we would not know salvation this morning. He worked many miracles, caused the blind to see, the deaf to hear, the lame to walk, raised the dead. But it's not in the miracles or the teaching or the preaching or anything that he did in his active ministry, those 3.5 years that he spent on this earth. They were all important. You can't divorce them from the whole picture. But it's the finishing of his work that brings us salvation. It's the cross that brings us salvation. It's him going to that cross and letting God lay on him every one of our sins. and him paying the price for our sins, suffering our hell for us, suffering our punishment from God for our sins. That's what brings salvation. And if he had quit any point before that, if he had said, no, I can't go any further, I'm going to stop now, all of us would be headed to a Christless eternity. All of us would be headed for hell. But I'm glad we had a Savior who took upon him the form of a servant and was faithful till the end. Went to that cross, let the Father put on him every one of our sins, and suffered and died for our sins. And that's why he's able to offer to every single one of us. Every single one of us. You say, oh, preacher, you don't know me. I'm too much of a sinner to be saved. I'm too much of a sinner for Jesus to die for me. I want to tell you, no, no, no. I don't know what kind of sinner you are, but I know what kind of Savior we have. And I know the price that he paid for your sin. And his blood is sufficient. It covers every sin. Every sin. The Bible says that if you'll come to him and call on him, he will save you. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. I have two requests, two charges, two instructions this morning, however you want to say it. Number one, if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I encourage you to be saved this morning. I encourage you to be saved. He finished his work for you. You're a sinner. The Bible says we're all sinners. All sin and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. The penalty on that sin is death. Not physical death, but spiritual death, being separated from God. That's what Jesus paid on Calvary's cross. And when he said, it is finished, there's nothing else that needs to be added, which means you don't have to add anything to it. You don't have to be good enough. You don't have to join anything. You don't have to do anything except come and get it, except take it. And if you're here today and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, I beg you to do that this morning. I know most of us are here this morning as Christians. Here's my instruction to you. Take upon you the form of a servant. Take upon you the form of a servant. Make yourself available. Look for needs. Use what you have. Be faithful. Give it your best. Jesus was our example. And I guarantee you, if we take upon us the form of a servant, will be peculiar, because there's not many servants in the world. Not many servants in the world. Be one. Be one. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the example that we have in our Savior. And I pray this morning that we as Christians would do the same thing that he did. Take upon us the form of a servant. And we'd let you bring people across our path, see the need, use what we have to meet it. And then, Father, I pray for the many, those that may be here this morning that don't know Jesus as their Savior. Maybe one, maybe two, maybe three or four. I don't know. But, Father, you know. You know all our hearts. You know the one that's sitting here this morning that has never received Christ. Help them, Holy Spirit, to see that they're a sinner, that there's a penalty for that sin, and that Jesus paid it. And the only hope that they have for heaven is him. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by him. Help them come in just a second as we stand and sing. We'll take the Bible, and from the Bible, show them how to ask Jesus to be their Savior. Father, please bless this time of invitation. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.